Because the weekend was nothing short of explosive, though, in the world of rugby. I mean, the Springbok women kicked off their World Cup journey with fire and determination. We all saw that. They played against Brazil at Franklin's Gardens, while the Bok men, well, they locked horns with their old foes, Australia. That clash, packed with great drama as well, grit, green and gold pride. It was all over the place. And tonight, let's try and break it down. Ashfaq Mohammed joins me all the way down in Cape Town, sports analyst, no stranger to the show. Ashfaq, good to speak to you, man. Welcome.
Hey, good evening, Rob. Thanks for having me.
I won't say we got to start off on a controversial note, but when one player has to be withdrawn en route to New Zealand, Saids is back in the spotlight again. What can you tell us? Because this happened this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a really unfortunate situation where the tight head prop Asinati in Club Akane wasn't able to be part of the touring squad for the trip to New Zealand because of an adverse analytical finding. But of course, he has pleaded his innocence, and SA Rugby were very clear in this statement that it was it wasn't a performance enhancing substance at all, and that he has abided with the whole process and spoken openly to the authorities about this. And the substance that he had taken was cleared by a physician that clears such things for professional rugby players, and they have been kept abreast of everything throughout the process. So he's awaiting now, I would imagine, a B sample or another finding from SAIDS. But he maintains his innocence, and it was certainly not a case of, you know, trying to get an unfair advantage at all.
Ashfaq, I think just clearly from what you're saying, then SA Rugby took the right decision, leaving him out so that you avoid media scrums and everybody throwing this issue at the coach.
Yeah, you know, it would have been a very difficult situation for him and the whole team if he had not gone to New Zealand, because, you know, the Kiwis, they love their rugby. They try and find any edge, you know, on or off the field to help the All Blacks. And that certainly would have been the major talking point instead of the rugby if Asinati had gone on tour. Of course, it's very unfortunate for him. He would have loved to have faced the All Blacks in New Zealand. You know, that's the ultimate for any South African rugby player and Springbok player. So that's a real pity in that regard. But in terms of for the man himself and for the team, it was the right decision, because can you imagine the scrutiny everybody would have received over there when it seems as if, you know, it was a really a case of some mysterious thing that's been found in this test, and hopefully it can get to the bottom of it, because, you know, it seems like he's innocent in this thing. But, yeah, we have to wait for the final decision there.
No, absolutely. I mean, he's an exciting prop forward there, Asinati Ntlabaganye, providing that adverse analytical finding as spelled out here by Ashfaq Mohammed. Let's touch on the game where you were at. Nice and cold. See, everyone was wearing their polo necks and jackets, looking more Eskimo types, but not a freezing type of game. Maybe emotional at times, maybe at times we didn't know which way it was going to swing, but we were quite consistent in areas where we lacked maybe last week.
Yeah, you see, Rob, the first thing was to get a win after what happened the previous week. You know, I think another defeat to the Wallabies in South Africa would have spelled disaster, even though I still felt, even with the first test, as much as things really went pear-shaped after the great opening 20 minutes, I think there was a bit of an overreaction, because people tend to now, because of the final result, tend to forget what actually happened in those first 20 minutes in Johannesburg, where the Springboks played some unbelievable rugby and scored a number of great tries. I mean, Kirtley Arons are going over there, Mani Libbo calling the shots, throwing some wonderful passes everywhere, and, you know, they were going great guns. So it was a real pity that they sort of almost stopped playing. You know, I don't know if they ran out of steam or what happened at Ellis Park. But, you know, after that result, it's almost like you have to win the next game no matter what. So at least they managed to do that. And it wasn't pretty at times, you know, at Cape Town Stadium. The Box wasn't that smooth, well-oiled machine that we've come accustomed to. You know, but they got the job done in terms of cutting down the errors, you know, just playing within themselves a bit, with Andre Pollard kicking the goals there and just being a steady hand, and the forwards getting stuck in as well, although they also weren't quite dominant. I don't think that they got enough scrum dominance or got their line-out more going. But overall, in terms of a victory and getting back on the horse and being back in the rugby championship, that was the main goal for us here, Rasmus and the team.
I love the analogy about the horse, though, you know, saying that it was far from perfect performance, but sometimes just getting back on that horse is the most important thing to do. You're 100% correct about Pollard, in fact, reaching wonderful records of 800 points there in the test region, 6 out of 6. But he also saw how important kicking can be. But if it goes wrong for your opponent, maybe we celebrate, because had it gone the other way with James O'Connor, the finish might have been that much more tighter.
Oh yeah, you know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a runaway victory, and it doesn't mean now the box are now perfect again, and you know, yes, they are world champions, but in terms of the current performance, there are still a number of questions that Rassie Erasmus needs to find answers for. The loose trio was again an issue. Captain Siya Kolisi not there. Peter Seif Tutoi was out. Jasper Visser still suspended. You know, so the guys who came in tried hard, but you know, Kwagga Smith played his heart out there, but we know, you know, he has certain limitations that doesn't really make him an ideal test number 8. You know, he's more of a guy who comes on off the bench, impact player, and is perhaps, if he has to start, he's better suited to playing open side flank. You know, but it's almost like that's all that the box had on the day, and they had to make do, and they got the job done. But, you know, there's still a number of selection issues in that loose trio. Jasper Visser said to be available again for selection for the second All Black test. But, you know, now they're going on tour, and there's still no Evan Roos. And it's not just people in Cape Town. Know, whenever Evan Roos' name comes up, then they say, oh, it's just a storm of supporters crying again. But we forget that in the first season of URC, he was a South African player of the season in the entire URC. And he really hasn't had a proper run at number 8 for the box, I feel. You know, so that is one of the questions as well. Corvus Wieser from the Bulls not getting an opportunity, and now he's not part of the squad for the tour to New Zealand as well. You know, just some of those guys that could have added real grunt to the box effort, particularly in the ball carrying, where I felt that they were a bit light. You know, someone like Franco Mostert, who's normally number 5 lock, playing number 7. Marco van Sade, open side flank, smallish guy. You know, as hard as he tried, he's just not quite the same as a big number 8 or a ball carrying number 8, and same with Kwagga Smith. With an attack as well, you know, Mani Lubbock was made a scapegoat in some quarters for that defeat in the first test. But I actually felt he was outstanding. Yes, he threw that one pass that was intercepted. But for me, you know I don't want to go, we're still going to chat about the New Zealand tour, but for me, he's still the first choice fly off to face the All Blacks.
No, absolutely. I think he provides something that many, many players don't. He'll make mistakes. Yes, will he kick 100%? Half the time, no. But do we judge him on one over the other or the overall play? That'll always be a major debate. Let me squeeze in one thing here because of time, Mashfaq, and just for today, you and I are going to be chatting rugby moving forward. Franklin's Gardens, how we played against the Brazilians, Swiss to Brains, main cast, how do they perform?
The ladies were fantastic, Rob. You know, to score all those tries, 66 points. I don't know if there's any meaning in a 66-6 score line there. Brazil kicking 2 penalties there. But certainly, you know, the box really, the box women really warmed our hearts. Aseza Haile, that number 8. You know, the Springbok men can take a leaf out of Aseza Haile's book as a number 8. You know, she was so direct and she scored a hat-trick of tries. But just her ball carrying, I've been watching the box women for a number of years now, you know, and to see their growth and development is wonderful to see. But Aseza Haile, always a standout player, and she made it count on the biggest stage in women's rugby at the World Cup, you know, getting a hat-trick. And the way the box women were so methodical in how they went about dispatching Brazil. Yes, Brazil's not one of the stronger teams, and it was a big score, almost like a cricket score. But, you know, that bodes well for the next few games in the pool for the box women.
All right, follow him on social media platforms there. Ashfaq Mohammed down in Cape Town, sports analyst. As always, Ashfaq, thank you so much, man.
Cheers. Thanks, Rob.
Appreciate it. Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.